listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Good morning, New Chapel. Welcome to Easter Sunday. One more time, get excited with me. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. Come on, somebody. Well, man, we're so excited that you're here with us today celebrating Resurrection Sunday with all of us here at New Chapel. Again, if we haven't met, my name is Joe. I'm the lead pastor here at New Chapel. And together with my wife, we launched this church. We're going on our 11th year. And I love to use days like today to kind of show off on my family. And so forgive me, I'm kind of dad life about that. But throw up that picture there, guys. I want them to see, this is my family. My wife, Kaya, is at the end. And then my sons, Aurelio and Jack and Frank, and then my little flower right there in the middle, that's Vera. That's the daughter I never knew that I needed, by the way. I wanted all boys. Saves you gun polish when they're teenagers. But then she came, and man, just lit up our life. And so that's our family. And together with the pastors and the staff here at New Chapel, it is our honor to serve you today on an Easter Sunday. One more time, if you would, pull out that little response card. I want to talk about this. Again, we do this every Easter because we're all here on the same day. And want to get on the same page. On the back side of this, I haven't talked about this yet, section 1 and 2, it asks really questions about what you're interested in, what you'd like to hear a sermon about, what questions that you have. And what we're going to do is we're going to distill all of that down, and you'll actually be able to inform some of the messages that we bring to you here at New Chapel. And somebody's laughing right now saying, well, Pastor, isn't that your job? Well, yes, point taken. But some of Jesus' best sermons in the Bible that are recorded, they're actually in response to a question that was posed to him by the crowd. You can also see here, it says, my next step in my spiritual journey. You know, you can accept Christ, you can get baptized, you can learn more about it. We'll contact you only if you want it, but you can fill that out. Hold on to this, so don't file this in your purse. We're going to need this later in our time together today. Everybody say, aha. Uh-huh. You know, coming to Easter on a Sunday morning, it can feel a little bit intimidating if you're a visitor, and I get that. I was that guy for years of my life. In fact, when they would drag me into church on an Easter or a Christmas, I'd come in, and the prevailing thought in my head was, I need to get my life right. I need to act right. I'm coming in here. I don't want the roof to cave in. You know what I'm talking about, everybody? And people feel pressure sometimes when they come into church, and even Christians push this along. You'll hear Christians be like, oh, I finally gave up and I accepted Christ. Here we go, you know. Or you'll even hear a preacher be like, I gave up. I turned my life into the call. And it's all negative. But that's not what Easter, that's not what church is supposed to all be about. Amen, somebody? In fact, today I want you to know this just up front. Write it down. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. That's not what today's about. He came to make dead people live again. So my prayer, what we've been praying for around here, is that there would be a lift in your heart today, that you would sense the presence and the power of our God. And that's the message of Resurrection Sunday. Well, I've been in ministry my entire adult life, and as you can imagine, I've done a lot of funeral services, performed them for people. And that's not this crowd today, but I'll tell you, there's been some funerals that I've done where I looked in the box and I thought that dude had more life than half of the crowd that was looking at me. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all been at that church? And so we want to be a place where you can actually experience the power and the life and the lift of God. Makes me think of a story of back home. It's been way too long, New Chapel, since I've given you a good old-fashioned Newaygo County story. Who wants to hear a Newaygo story? Well, I'm going to say it whether you want to hear it or not. Here we go. So the Newaygo Newt and Croton Cliff and Roosevelt from White Cloud were all at a funeral one day, and they all walked up to the box at the front, and they peered into the casket, and old Roosevelt said, hey, and it scared the guys for a second. He said, hey, what do you want people to say about you at your funeral? And the Newaygo Newt, being afraid, he kind of shook up, and he said, well, I want people to look in that box. I want them to look at me and say, he was civic-minded. He was a community member, a team player, that he really did his part in the community to make a difference. And Roosevelt, not to be one-upped, he said, well, that's great, Newt, but listen, I want people to look down at me and think of me as a family man. I want them to look at me and know that my wife loved me and that my kids loved me. They still wanted to be around with me all my life. I want them to look at me and know me as a man of love. And Roosevelt, they looked down, him and Nuevo Newton looked down at Croton Cliff, who seemed to be ignoring the whole conversation. And they say, Cliff jumped, thinking that something happened in the box. And Cliff says, what? Says, well, what do you want people to say about you when they see you in the box? And so Croton Cliff looked at the guy in the box, and he looked up and he says, I want him to say, look, he's moving. That's funny. I don't care who you are. We better open the Bible. If you have your Bibles, open with me to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. I love this passage, especially at Easter. The Bible says that the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. The Spirit of God. The Spirit, this is the third member of the Godhead. It's part of the power of God. It's the breath of God. It's the presence of God, the Spirit of God. And you don't always see him, but you can feel him. The Bible says that the Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead, and he lives in you. In another part of the Bible, in the book of Ephesians, it says that the greatest work of God's power was when God raised Jesus from the dead. How did he do it? That same Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. It continues on, and just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he will give life, I love how it says it, to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you, mortal bodies. So can I put it this way? In the life that you're living in this flesh, in the life that you're living out, that's playing out in this existence. And here's what it means. He wants to have resurrection power affect everything that concerns you. Yes, absolutely, your eternity in heaven, absolutely. But also currently, today, what concerns your life, your emotions, and your marriage, and your dreams, anything about your life that could decay, he wants to have resurrection power come in and lift up. Can I hear an amen, somebody? Well, how does he do it? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Write it down. It's the big thought for the day. The resurrection of Jesus gives us power to exchange the life that we're currently living, wherever that is, with a life that we could live. God has life for you today. God has something great for you today. Yes, eternally, but currently. So what do we do to see this action reversed in our life so we can reverse death, see more of God's life? People ask, what's the catch? And they ask that question because really a chip on their shoulder. They think it's harder to follow God than it actually is. Maybe you have in your mind some family that looked perfect from the outside, and you think, they had it together, that's not me. I want to get closer to God, but I'll never be like that. Or maybe you read your Bible, and you read about Bible heroes, and you're thinking, like, I'm not that. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that I'm right with God, but I can't do some of the things that the Apostle Paul did or some of the patriarchs. I don't reconcile with all of that. How do I see that active in my life? You think it's harder than it actually is. In fact, if you read your Bible, the patriarchs or the apostles or anybody in between, they faced hardship just like you. And they got out of it the same way that you can get out of it. In fact, it makes me think about the Apostle Paul. This is what he said in 2 Corinthians 1. He said, we don't want you to be in the dark, friends, about how hard it was when this all came down on us. It was so bad, we didn't think we were going to make it. We felt like we'd been sent to death row, that it was all over for us. Maybe you're holding a translation right now that would say that we despaired life itself. I mean, Paul's depressed. Is he suicidal in this moment? It continues on. But as it turns out, it was the best thing that could have happened. Instead of trusting in our own strengths or our wits, trying to think our way out of it, we were forced to trust God totally, to believe God. Not a bad idea, since he's the God who raises the dead. I want to help you to believe today. I know that we have doubts. We have things that nip away at our heart. But listen, I want to help you to believe. I want you to help to be able to trust God in a way where you can honestly say, hey, I know how this thing works. Because again, even patriarchs faced hardship. I think about Abraham in the Bible. We think of Abraham, the father of faith. But the Bible says in Romans 4, that is what the scriptures mean. When God told Abraham, I made you the father of many nations, all this happened because Abraham believed. Say that with me. He believed in the God who brings the dead back to life, who creates things out of nothing. I want to help you with that belief so you can have that lift in your life, the resurrection power of God active in your life today. Well, how do you get it? You believe. And what did Abraham believe? He believed in an Easter kind of God, if I can put it that way. Say amen, somebody. Now, that sounds easy, but I know that there's people in the sound of my voice in a room this large, that there are people that have choked on belief a little bit. Like, you want to believe. You'd like to go deeper, but you know that it's not necessarily easy. It can feel hard. It can feel insurmountable. And you begin to experience doubt. Doubt is when you're uncertain of something. And my goal this Easter is to help you with your doubt. I know that people go through it. I want to help you truly to believe in the God of miracles. Amen. Amen. John's Gospel, chapter 11, Jesus put it this way. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And then he asks the question, do you believe this? And I think a lot of us in the room would answer, well, yeah, kinda. I'd like to, but I've got these doubts. Yeah. Friend, latent within this particular verse, you can see the resurrection of Christ, this faith thing, it's not a Bible subject. It's not a theological discourse. Resurrection isn't a Bible topic. It's a person. He says, I am resurrection. So he's not asking you to convert. He's not asking you to change your beliefs. He wants you to know him. He knows that when you know him, it changes everything about our life. I think that mankind wants to believe, yeah? But at the same time, it's human nature to doubt. I heard a story, this was in the 1960s, and there was the space race in between the United States and the Soviet Union. They were trying to get to space first, trying to get to the moon first, and they were going back and forth. And in Soviet Union, Soviet Russia, they were communist, which if you don't know, communism is, it's not biblical, it's anti-God. And in fact, to be a communist, you have to be atheist. Why? God is our source. And if God is not your source and government is, you have to forego God. And so the Soviet Russia was on a big campaign of atheism and trying to use all of their propaganda to squash the church in Russia. And so they had an idea. They were going to take this this cosmonaut, send him up in a rocket, and put him out in space on a tether and have him do scientific exploration to see if there was God. The only thing, the problem with the whole plan was it was all phony. And so they knew that their people in Russia weren't educated. They were poor people, very pastoral people. And so they decided that they were going to do this knowing that no one was going to check them. So there was a man, he was a cosmonaut named Yuri Gagarin, and he goes up there and they blast the rocket off and get up there into space and they throw old Yuri out there on a tether and he's floating around. My holy imagination, that's what he's doing. And he looks around. This is his scientific like research. He looked to the left, he looked over to the right, and he said those words in Russian. He said, Borach yet. Russian is such a beautiful language. It means that there is no God. On the front page of newspapers all over Russia and even all over the world, the headline was, there is no God. Now, I read the Bible this way. I read the news this way. I have a great sense of humor. You might not know that about me. I have a very very keen sense of humor about things. So I'm thinking about this old cosmonaut up there. He says, there is no God. Cut the tether. He'll find Jesus in a heartbeat. I'm just saying, everybody, you want to meet him? I can arrange that introduction. I want to give you a gift today, and it's what I wish somebody would have done for me early on in my walk with God, or even maybe this is my love letter to those of you that are dealing with doubt. I want to show you the progression of what it looks like to fall into doubt. I also want to show you the progression of what it looks like to lift out of that and actually be able to believe. The first story of two that I'm going to share with you, it's found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. There's a demon-possessed young boy, and this boy's father is taking him to Jesus. Here's what it says in Mark 9. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son, who's possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech, so he can't speak. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him on the ground. He foams at the mouth, he gnashes his teeth, and he becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Remember that detail. Verse 19, Jesus says, you unbelieving person? No. He says, you unbelieving generation. Remember that detail as well. Very significant. Jesus says, how long am I going to be with you? Bring me the boy. So they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell on the ground, rolled, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. And then he says this, and this kind of strikes my heart because I'm a dad. I have four kids. And I'm just imagining if I had one of my kids in a spot where it's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help him. One time my little guy, Frankie, knocked his head on the fireplace and started bleeding. I'm telling you, it was scary, everybody. I wasn't the great man of faith that you know me to be. I'm a dad at that moment. I'm holding my kid. Let's go to the ER. You know what I'm talking about? And this dad has seen his kid out of sorts, and he says, if you can do anything, if you can do anything, just take pity on us and help us. Y'all feel that? Mom and dad, do you feel that desperation of this dad? Now, I love Jesus. And again, I read the Bible with a little bit of humor. This is what Jesus says. If you can? Jesus is laughing with the guy. Sometimes things are so bad and so toxic and we're so angst about them and so upset about them. Sometimes the best thing you can do is laugh, everybody. And Jesus was not, I don't know what you, he was not some Renaissance painting of some gaunt white guy, okay? Like, he wasn't white, okay? And he wasn't holding up three fingers, I don't know what, three, Trinity, I don't know, just looking upset, just concerned about you, you know, hit you. That's not Jesus. Jesus was full of life, the Bible says. In fact, the Bible says you couldn't keep kids away from Jesus. I don't know if he had candy in his robes or what he had going on, but he was fun. Y'all hear me? Jesus was fun to be around. And so this dad's going through and he says, if you can, put that passage up there. If you can, everything is possible, the Bible says. Everything is possible if you believe. And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, well, I do believe. I felt like I believe. I guess if I believe, my kid would be better though, but help me in my unbelief. And I know there's times that we feel that way, where we're shaken up and we're like, I do believe or I wanna, but I don't have it in me. And what I wanna do today is help you to overcome that doubt. Three things in this story we can see of the progression of how doubt comes in. Write it down. Why do we doubt? We don't think that God is doing a good job at being God. Well, don't you see that we're struggling? God, don't you see that we're going through this? I'm doing everything that I can. Don't you care about this? It's indictments. Neither does he know that God has no plan but to set that boy free. But yet, we don't feel like God's doing what we think he should be doing. Second thing, you tried to believe and it didn't work. What happened? This guy brought him to Jesus' disciples first and it didn't work. So this is a person that's like, well, Pastor Joe, I done joined the church. I've been a part of a group. I did grow. I did connect. I've done all this stuff. But my financial situation hasn't broke yet. Or our marriage is still on the rocks. I'm still going through it. I tried, but it's not working. Why do we doubt? Third reason, I think this is big in our culture. We listen to the doubts of others. This even happens in the church. Sometimes people get born again, and I want to keep them away from some of the Christians I'm convinced were baptized in pickle juice. Because you get saved. Do you remember what that's like? Remember that old hymn? Come on, old people. Amazing Grace, right? It talks about the hour you first believed. Well, the hour you first believed, you thought you could take on hell with a squirt gun. You thought God could do anything. God will answer any prayer. Why? Because I know God. You knew him here. And then religious people came in and talked you out of God answering prayer and gave you theological reasons why you're not going to get the answer that's in the Bible. Jesus didn't go to the guy and say, you unbelieving person. He said, I get it. It's an unbelieving generation. You're surrounded by it. I bet you've heard a lot about me. I want to tell you what's true. Do you see that, guys? And I'm telling you, it's in American culture. It is seeped into the church. If the church doesn't finally understand what we believe about things and get on the same page with that, we are going to have another generation after us that will be an unbelieving generation. And I say, not on my watch, everybody. Who's with me? Not on my watch. Come on, somebody. By the way the story ends, Jesus prays for the boy and the devil's cast out of him. But here's what I want you to see in that whole example is that doubts can arise. Jesus gets it, and he has an answer. So how about we get on talking about, well, how do we get that belief thing? How do we get that life of God in us? Okay. To do that, I'm going to give you a resurrection story, pretty appropriate for a day like today. And it's a story about a man that for the last 2,000 years has been given a nickname. In fact, if you know it, help me out. They call him Doubting
Thomas.
Right. And that's really unfortunate because Thomas is really misunderstood. He's a good guy. He's like that kid in fifth grade, Jim. You remember him? And he grew up really quick and he was really tall. Everybody started calling him Big Jim. Da 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 da. Okay, anyway, but Big Jim, he leveled out in high school. He's even kind of short, but we all call him Big Jim. Or you think about your sister Sue, and she hasn't done any work, and everybody calls her Lazy Susan. We all know Mustang Sally. And so, so he gets called Doubting Thomas, which is really not fair because, spoiler alert, the end of the story, Thomas accepts Christ and becomes a vibrant Christian. In fact, he becomes a missionary to Asia. He goes to India and to the Orient. He actually preached in the Punjab where Pastor Eric goes regularly. I've been there. It's wild. He was threatened when he was in India. Renounce your God or we'll kill you. Another religion came up and took issue with him. He was turning the whole area upside down. And he said, I cannot deny my Lord. And they killed him. His gravesite is in India to this day. And I say all that to say that there's a tomorrow. Even if you have doubts, even if you've been labeled, even if you have a reputation, I believe reputations are going to change in the room today. Amen, somebody? So this story, it's happening right after the resurrection of Jesus. So the day that we're celebrating, right? 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus stayed on earth and he talked with people, had conversations. One of the first conversations that he had was with his disciples. We'll pick up the story in John's Gospel, chapter 20. Here we go. Now, Thomas, also called Eeyore, that's in the Greek, it's okay, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So Thomas was doing his own thing. He was out there, wasn't doing anything bad, just wasn't there. Jesus shows up. Thomas comes back after Jesus had left, and the disciples tell him, we have seen the Lord. Now, I think it's very interesting that it puts that detail in there, and let me tell you why. There's times when you're trying to get out of debt, you're trying to get your life together, you're trying to get a word from God or direction, and you look it over at your buddy, and your buddy's like, man, I just heard the audible, like, voice of Jesus, and I know exactly what I'm going to do, and he told me the lottery numbers to pick, and what job I'm supposed to do, and my kids are going, and you're thinking, like, I just want to know what to do next. And there are times where, just like Thomas, you're even going to be around good people, and they're not doing anything wrong, and they're saying, like, we've seen God, and you're like, God, where are you? That was Thomas's experience. Actually made him upset. He felt like they were kind of rubbing it in, like they were bragging a little bit. So he gets upset, verse 25, and he says to him, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, unless I put my hand into his side where the spear was, I will not believe. I'm not going to do it. So Thomas is upset. He says something he shouldn't say when he was upset, but he says it just that straight, and he doubles down on his doubt. Now, the beginning of the doubt lifting starts in verse 26. Here we go. A week later, his disciples, Jesus' disciples, were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, very interesting, Jesus came and stood among them. Pause, keep that passage up there. Ask me how that works. I get it, Jesus bodily resurrected. The Bible says we have a glorified body. And the Bible puts in the detail by no mistake that the doors were locked and Jesus shows up right in the middle of everything. Look, everybody, I'm in sales, not in management. I'm just saying, like, that's crazy. Okay, here we go. The doors were locked. Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. He says this. He says, peace be with you, which is the opposite of what I would say if I was Jesus. What would you say, Pastor? I'd be like, what's the matter with you? I told you for 3 years that this was going to happen, you bunch of But he doesn't. He says, you doubters? No. He says, peace be with you. It tells me something about the character of our God. Write it down. Realize Jesus will continually search for you. And your doubts aren't going to keep him away. He'll continually search for you. His heart is for you. You say, well, I left him a long time ago. I turned my back on him. I knew better, Pastor Joe, and I went my own way. He's not going to. No, listen. You might have left him. He never left you.
That's right.
You might have left the room. Friend, he actually never left the room. And he's there for you. And your doubts aren't going to keep him away. He's searching, let me put it this way, even when you don't want him to. You might be an atheist in the room. You listen to me. You can say, I reject God. I want nothing to do with God. I've talked with atheists before. I listen to what they have to say. It's very interesting. That's awesome. So I don't believe in God. That's awesome. But don't you miss him? Yeah. You know, and so like there's something in us that has a draw for eternity, right? So your doubts don't turn God off. He's going to bring you experiences and people and interactions to intersect your life. You say, well, God hasn't done that for me. You're listening, still listening. God is appealing through me to you. He sees you. He has his eye on you, and he loves you and wants to see you through. If you've ever searched for something real and you struggled to find it, you were looking in the wrong place. And so what do we have to do? We have to understand he's continually searching for us. So what do? Open our eyes. And we need to look for him. Number two, John chapter 20 and verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? I don't need to do this for you, Thomas. I owe you nothing, right? Jesus, he did the cross. He owes him nothing. But yet look at God's mercy. He's willing to go to your place of doubt. He says, reach out your hand. Put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And I'm convinced that Thomas in that moment could hear the voice of Jesus. Like you could recognize the voice of your own father, right? He hears him finally in that moment. And that tells me this. Number two, we need to take a step to discover who Jesus is. Like God's going to come into your life. He'll come into your place of doubt, but he's going to come only so far. Belief doesn't come to you. You have to go to it. So he's going to come right up to the threshold, but the final step, it's a you thing. You get a vote in whether or not you're going to go along with all of this. It's pretty powerful. And so he encourages Thomas to step forward. And at New Chapel, we encourage you to take your next step. You are encouraged. If you're in this room, if you're in the sound of my voice, and you're not a person who would say that you're a believer, either maybe you're trying to figure it out, or maybe you're agnostic. Maybe you're an atheist in this room. Listen, you can come here. You're not going to get kicked out of New Chapel because you have questions. God is big enough to stand up to your questions. The churches that push people away that aren't Christians yet, listen to me, they're hypocrites. That is not the MO of your Jesus. Jesus would talk to him. In fact, sometimes it's easier to get along with normal, everyday sinners than it is to get along with church people, I will tell you. So what are you saying, Pastor Joe? I'm just trying to say you can belong before you believe. Doesn't mean we agree with everything you say. In fact, probably a lot of it's wrong, but you can be here. You can be in here with us. You can ask your questions. We're not going to think that you're being disrespectful because you have real questions about your faith. In fact, you came to a church. Well, we like to say it this way. New Chapel's a church where you don't have to check your brain at the door. This is something you can explore. You can take your next steps in, and you can engage. What does it look like? What do I need to do? I would say give us the next year of your life. That means if the church doors are open, be here. If they talk about serving on a team, jump on a team. If they talk about small groups, get on a small group. We give you something to take notes with, a little pen, you know, take notes with everybody. Just give us a year of your life. You're like, Pastor Joe, that's a tall order. What you're doing isn't working.
That's right.
You might just as well jump in. And here's the guarantee. You got your doubts? Get ready to believe. Because you can't help but do it. God will meet you there. He'll bring the answer to your questions if you're actually not afraid of the response. You can join the great fraternity of people like Jordan Peterson who have asked great questions and ultimately, with a very cerebral mind, found God at the other end of it. So if you want the truth, well, we got the corner on truth, everybody. Give us a year of your life. And if at the end of that year you'd say, Pastor Joe, I went to church, I did the group, I just don't get it. Look, I'll Google it with you, I'll go with you. We'll go to another church, we'll find one, okay, together. Because God will move on your behalf. Say amen.
Amen.
How about for you Christians? God has another step for you too.
Right.
You're like, wait a minute, I liked what you're saying about to all those people. No, God has something for you. You have a next step. How about this one? How about worshiping God the way that he wants? Well, Pastor, I don't know about all that clapping stuff. He knows my heart. Well, listen, no, he don't. I didn't rate it. Clap your hands, oh, you people. Lift up your voice with a voice of triumph. I'm just telling you, the Bible says a lot more. What if you're in this room and God's been dealing with you about a next step? Maybe it's serving. Maybe it's getting baptized. Some of y'all have been saved for 10 years. You never got water baptized. God has great things. He just wants you to get wet. Like that's the first step and you're choking on getting wet. Some of you who know Roosevelt from White Cloud need to get wet very soon. And we could help you with that today. Maybe you need to get baptized today. Come on, somebody. Cheer them on, New Chapel. Okay, I got to wrap this message up. John 20, verse 28. Thomas says to Jesus, shortest verse in this whole story, "My Lord and my God." He's not doubting Thomas. He had a moment. We have moments. He says, "My Lord and my God." This is not complicated. This is easy. Getting saved, believing, it's easy. It'll cost you everything, but it's easy to do. And he says, "My Lord." This is not him changing and converting to it. No, this is him saying, "I am in relation. This is my Lord. I know you, God. And it's my Lord. I make you boss over my life. I'm good. I'm in. My doubts have been satisfied. Jesus loves you." And friend, write it down. Number three, what do? We give our life to the one who gave his. That's your response. How do I believe? You don't have to understand it all. Well, when and how and how's this all? You don't have to understand it all. You can just believe. He'll answer the questions along the way. But friend, you can give your life to the one who gave his. And so many in Western Michigan, they believe in Jesus. And so they put up Christmas trees and they hide Easter eggs. They believe in him, but they don't believe on him. They have a religion. They don't have a Lord. Write it down. Belief isn't having faith in something. Belief is faith on someone. To show that to you, I'm going to give you a story. 1824, there's a man named Charles Blunden who was born in France. By 5 years old, his parents put him into acrobat school, which, by the by, when I read that, I believe Jack has been sneaking out and moonlighting at acrobat school. Explains a ton. But So Blunden goes to acrobat school. He's training to be a tightrope walker, and he gets very good at it. His family, at age 31, they migrate over to America. They find residence in New York, and he begins putting together an act of tightrope walking. He eventually is able to secure the permits to go over Niagara Falls, and he's able to draw a big crowd selling tickets to him. This is how he made his living, and he'd go over tightrope walking over Niagara Falls, 1 foot at a time. It's very dangerous, as you might understand. I mean, one slip and you're dead. And people came out in droves, but eventually, you know, it gets a little lackluster. Once you've seen it, you saw it. And so the crowds begin to go down, so he needed to upstage himself. And so he said, "Well, I'm going to do this tightrope, and I'm going to do it in a burlap sack." And so he does it in a burlap sack. "I'm going to do it with 1 foot." And so he does the tightrope with 1 foot. Horrifying to watch, I am sure. He said, "I'm going to do a blindfold." He does it blindfold. Eventually, he does it in stilts. So he gets over there on the other side after the stilts, and he gets to the other side, and the crowd is roaring. And he says, "Hey, do you think I could do this with somebody on my back?" And they're like, "Yeah, you could." He said, "We need volunteers." Nobody volunteered to jump on his back that day. Why? Same reason people choke on religion versus relationship. They're believing in that man, but not on him. Friend, listen to me. Today's your day to make a decision. You can believe on Jesus. Your life is for living. God has more. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. And the same life, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it can have a lift in your life. Amen, somebody? Amen. Yeah, why not? Absolutely. If you would, this is an all play. Could we all grab our response card out just one more time? This is the last time. Everybody all over the room, I can see you right over there. Everybody, even if you don't plan on filming this out, just fake it, okay? I've worked hard on this. On the back of this, it talks about your next step in your spiritual journey. You could check that if you wanted. And then there's an A, B, C, D. I want to talk about those in the moments that we have left. Now, I want you to fill this out. It means a lot. And again, I'd be the guy to not do this. Don't be like me. Fill it out. I want you to trust us because I'm not trying to build a big church. Listen, I'm trying to build a big people. And this is the best thing for you. It's the best way I can pastor you. Before we do this, let's all click our pens at the same time. Are you ready? One, two, three. Love that sound. It's the best, right? Whether you check one of these boxes or not, you are one of these. And here's what it looks like. If you were to check box A, you're a person who's saying, hey, Pastor Joe, I'm saved. I'm already in a real relationship with Jesus. I'm not perfect, but I am forgiven. I love God. And I've got more ground to take. But listen, I know him. I believe on him. I bank my life on it. Maybe you'd say, letter B, I'm beginning a real relationship with Jesus. And I would say that's a today thing. We're going to pray. But if that's you and you want to check B, like, hey, I want my life right with God. I'm ready to believe. I want you to check B. Maybe you're letter C. And you're saying, well, Pastor Joe, I hear what you have to say, but I got to think about this. This is a lot. I have to consider a little bit more first. Listen to me. We're great with that. You can come here, kick the tires. I want you to ask your hard questions because considering it means that you're going to make a very calculated decision. I think it's a very responsible thing for some people to do, if that's you. And then there's letter D. Maybe you'd say, Pastor Joe, I don't ever intend on making that decision. Maybe you're in the sound of my voice right now and you'd say, Pastor Joe, I'm an atheist. Hey, if that's you, have the guts to check the box. I'm going to tell you, whether you believe in this or not, I'm going to pray for you. I don't know if that means anything to you. But I'll tell you, it means something to the people of New Chapel. Because there's people who are serving on the go team today that at one point checked D on this survey. Now, church, just for the next 20 seconds, I want you to check your box, fold your card in half, put it on your lap, and bow your heads. That's how I'll know that you're ready to press on with the rest. Go ahead and check your box. Heavenly Father, I pray for this church. Now, there's people that are making weighty decisions today. Father, for those people who are saying, hey, I want to begin that real relationship with Jesus, help me to find them in Jesus' mighty name. Heads bowed, eyes closed, just for another minute. The Bible says whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. When you make Jesus Lord of your life, you don't have to be perfect, but you can be forgiven. You can have an eternity in heaven. What's even more than that, eternal life doesn't start when you die. It starts the moment that you accept Christ. And so we're going to pray. And if you mean it, the Bible says that you will be saved. Church, I want you to pray this with those people who are praying it for the first time. Let's all pray this out loud. Pray it with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross in my place for my sin so I can be forgiven. You raised Jesus from the dead. This I believe. So with my heart and with these words, I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord. I surrender now. Jesus, I call on you. Come into my life. Forgive my sin. Put your spirit in me. I receive the life that you have for me. Thank you for making all things new. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, New Chapel. Come on, New Chapel. Let me pray for you. Lift your hand for the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine on you. Be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And as you go, love you guys.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.